Welcome to Confessions of a Homemaker, a podcast where we discuss and unpack all the things in light of biblical truth. Hey, I'm your host, Haley Lindberg.
Hey, sweet lady. Before you jump to the episode, I just wanted to let you know that because I am trying to find a podcast area, we just moved into our new home and we're in the midst of, you know, repairs and remodeling, and there are some background noises. So I'm just giving you a heads up, and let's jump to the episode. Hey, good morning, beautiful. How are you? I hope you're well. I hope that you enjoyed hearing my awesome announcement with my friend Michelle. If you haven't checked out that episode, it is the one before this one. It's just a bonus episode, and it's titled Huge Announcement. So if you haven't listened to that, go check that out. I have another huge announcement. We moved into our house. Yes. I actually have joined the modern world. And I have a TikTok. That's a whole thing. Anyway. I only have two videos up right now. And that was my second one. Was our little recording that we did on my Insta stories. Literally the day we were going to pick up our keys. And my kids were so excited. And it was just like, yes, it was the day before Thanksgiving, and this house was built in 1942, so I think they did updates, like, in the 70s and 80s, but other than that, nothing. So we have been doing nothing but remodeling. We're trying to find the matching flooring, because we want to demo something, but then it'd screw up the floor. Anyway, so we're in the midst of that during the holidays, which for me and my husband is a reminiscent time to when we first got married, because our first house that we bought, we had been married, I think, a year and a half, or maybe 2 years, and we bought our first, no, we had been married a year and a half. We got married 2013, bought our first house 2014, December 2014. So this time is like bringing us back to like when we were, you know, newly married, and we bought our first home, and our first home and this home are about the same age. So a lot of the stuff is kind of similar, and the projects that we're doing are almost identical. So it's just been a very sweet time for me and my husband, and then, you know, talking to our kids about when they were babies, and it's just been super cool. Anyway, so, with that being said, my husband and his wisdom, I should have just listened to him, right? I do that more than I would like. because it's an older home, it's not open concept, right? So off of my kitchen is this long room that's a laundry room, pantry. It could be my school room, but I don't know what I want it to be yet. But in his wisdom, he was like, hey, we took the door off so we could paint, and he wants to put it back on. And I was like, no, I want the door to stay off. It, you know, it looks more open, and I like it, because it's like in an L shape. So I use the kitchen, and then I use this room. This is like the heart of the house, you know, the kitchen and then this room. So I was like, no, leave it open, because I'm constantly, you know, living here. I'm constantly going through the door. So just leave it off. Well, this week, I'm realizing it would be nice to have a door right there. Like right now, I'm recording in here. And it would be nice to have a door, because my kids are in the living room and they're far enough away where if I shut the door, y'all wouldn't hear anything in the background. So I'm probably going to have him put the door up this weekend. This weekend's project is cabinets, finishing painting the cabinets, and put the door on the laundry. And I'm going to go buy contact paper. I don't know if I'm going to look at Target or the Dollar Family Dollar to cover. We have like yellow countertops. They're horrible. It's weird because like the main one is stainless steel and then the other ones are yellow. So the yellow ones I'm going to cover with contact paper as a, you know, frugal on budget solution until we can, you know, demo it out and put new countertop on. So that is my life right now. We haven't been homeschooling since the week of Thanksgiving. So you know, we're just focusing on memories, and you know, we took a pause from the curriculum and now we're just focusing on Christmas and things like that. So my next episode's gonna be about Christmas, and then I'm gonna take a break and then start in January. So today, speaking of TikTok, I kind of prefaced with that a little bit because this is like, just follow me, okay? Grab your coffee, pick up what I'm putting down, okay? Ready? Let's go. 1, 2, 3. So I was on TikTok. Like, I've never downloaded the app. I've never done anything with it. And my sister, actually, me and my sister, we were talking about like, what is a stitch? And I was listening to the podcast Cultish, and they were doing an episode on Witch Talk with Marsha Montenegro. And my sister was like, yeah, you can do a switch. So a stitch is where you like click the original video and you like respond to it or reply with the original video. Like, it'll play a clip and then you can respond. So, and there was a particular one that was like, Jesus did magic. And I'm not trying to laugh, sorry. But, and she was like, walking on water, magic, turning elements like into wine, magic, I don't even remember if she used this one as an example, but like taking the mud and spitting and putting it on the blind man's eyes, magic. I don't know if she used that one. I can't remember. But anyway, so I could do a stitch to that and be like, actually, like, the difference between a magic and a miracle are like, they're not the same thing. So apologetically, I guess I joined TikTok to, you know, respond to stuff like that. Well, it's kind of developing as I'm figuring the app out. I've made two videos, or two little whatever they are, made two, and I've just been on there, like, sorry, my son keeps, like, he's sensory seeking, so, like, he's so rough, so he, like, purposely, like, runs with heavy feet because he enjoys the sound and the hitting on his feet. Anyway, moving on. So I was like following hashtags like on Facebook, and I typed in like homemaker, stuff like that. And this one lady popped up, and there's actually a lot of, there's a lot like in the Christian sphere, there's a lot in the homemaking and people making statements about homemaking that I heard from the Christian world, but I had never discovered people talking about it on social media until about 4 years ago. It could have been longer that people were talking about it. That's just when I discovered it. So this one lady that I stopped and watched her TikTok, she was talking about the difference between being a stay-at-home mom and being a homemaker. And I agreed with what she said. My only critique would be, like, if I was to message her, I'd be like, hey, can you, like, because when you're a homemaker and you're a stay-at-home mom, you're both roles. The difference should be, like, I would explain it in a way, the difference is the mindsets. So, that resonated with me because I, for the longest time, just saw myself as a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, and I would always say that, like, you know, well, I had a stay-at-home mom, my mom stayed home, my husband had a stay-at-home mom. In the culture, I think we have made stay-at-home mom and homemaker like synonymous, when in reality they're actually two separate roles, with two separate functions. This is how I would explain it to people. And the reason why I would say mindset is what matters here, or heart posture, however you want to, I would say heart posture, but however you want to articulate that. I worked outside the home, when we first got married. I worked part-time, and then I was in school full-time, because we got married at 20 and 21. So, I worked, but the stipulation that my husband laid, because my husband, I love him, he's awesome, he's the best, his mindset from the very beginning of marriage was very different than mine. So, let me explain that. He had in mind what I'm explaining, because his mom and dad lived this out. My parents, I would say quietly lived this out, but my mom never claimed to be a homemaker. She never was, it was like a, not, when I say pride, I don't mean like in a arrogant way. Pride meaning like she owned, was thankful, like, I am a homemaker. My mom never had that posture. It was just something she did, if that makes sense. Like, it's just part of me being a wife and a mom. Like, it was just normative. Where my husband's parents, I feel like they did a better job of like being distinctive in roles. My parents did too. His parents just had purpose in it, because he grew up in a Christian home. So my parents valued, you know, traditional family, and they lived that out. But I never heard my mom make comments about like, I'm so thankful to be a homemaker. No, my mom would say, I'm thankful to be home. And I know that's what she meant, now that I'm an adult and I'm doing what she did. So, but my husband came to it with the, like, you are a homemaker first. Why? Because God says. Doesn't matter if, you know, we don't have children. It doesn't matter if you're working. Your first job, your priority is being a homemaker. This is your domain. This is the space in which God has given you to be faithful, to serve, to grow and learn about Him, to build skills, to create an atmosphere for our family, which was me and him at the time. Like, he had very much a deeper understanding of that. I knew it very surface. In my mind, that wouldn't happen on the regular until we had children. So whenever I explain this, this makes sense. He would say stuff all the time like, being home is your priority. If you are having a hard time working part-time plus school, just don't work. Like, he had no desire for me to work outside the home. Not because it, I mean, I would have people make comments about like, oh, he's not secure in his masculinity, or, you know, I don't know, the craziest things. But no, in reality, he was just encouraging me to function in my first role, in my first job. And I just didn't want to hear it at the time. You know, like, I had the classic, like, more feminist leaning thinking of like, I can do it all. So I was a nanny when we got pregnant with Elliot, and then I started having complications pretty early on, and I quit my job. And from that moment, my mind switched to, I'm pregnant, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And because I had not spent the early years of being married, I think we were married for 2 years when we got pregnant, because we got married May 2013 and we had Elliot September of 15. So I didn't spend the early years really building homemaking skills. I didn't ask for discipleship in that area because I didn't even know I needed it. I didn't know that was something valuable. But, you know, I didn't spend that time learning how to have a cleaning routine, learning how to just do, you know, what I would consider now basic homemaking things. So because I was on bed rest and my husband worked all the time, the house started getting crazy. Now, mind you, before, I had always struggled with taking care of the house. But I always blamed it on, well, I'm doing school or I'm at work, you know, hey, babe, you know, this weekend, can we get in and do laundry together? You know, I never expected it. But there was a part of me that was like, you need help. So then whenever I got pregnant with Elliot, it was like, oh, okay, now I'm a stay-at-home mom. So all of this is my full-time job now, plus the baby. And that struggle just continued while I was pregnant. And then it got worse when I had Elliot. And, you know, then I had depression. And it was just, you know, the whole thing just kind of spiraled. So in that time, I had no one come alongside me and offer discipleship. I had people offer to do it for me, which is not the same thing. I didn't have anybody recommend any books, podcasts, YouTube channels. So because of that, I just felt like a major failure, you know, like, this is my job. What is wrong with me? Why can't I do it? You know, stuff like that. Well, listening to that lady's TikTok, because this has been a journey for me, and this is one of my, reasons why I wanted to start Confessions of a Homemaker. I just haven't had the language to talk about it, so I haven't done a lot of episodes on actual homemaking, because I'm not a pro. I'm still learning. I have no idea what I'm doing. This is definitely an area where I just, where I have to trust the Lord daily, but because of that, I loved this lady's TikTok because I totally lived that, and I also lived it in as in I made the mental switch. I made the heart posture change. Once my daughter, how old is she? She was a baby. I just knew that I had no control over my home at all. Everything was chaos. No, it was when I was pregnant. I was still pregnant with her. Everything was chaos. You know, we were having developmental delays with Elliot, which was very worrisome for me, and just, you know, different things. Dealing with a grieving husband because my father-in-law had passed. Just, it was a very hard season. So in that, I started thinking, like, and it was prompted by the Holy Spirit because it was not of me in any way. I was like, you know, hey, instead of having all of Elliot's toys out in the living room, because he would play a game called dump. He would literally take a basket or a bucket or whatever, and he would just dump it. He wouldn't play with any of it. He would just dump it, and then we would play the cleanup game, and then he'd do it again. He saw that as a game. So, you know, typical, not playing with toys how they're not supposed to be played with. So I just immediately was like, hey, if I take these away from him and give him, like, an option, like, organize the toys, put them away where he can't see them, and then give him an option of, like, hey, you can have this bucket or this bucket. That was an amazing system. That one thing brought me so much peace, so, like, a little more order, and a little bit of control, because I didn't know how to explain to Elliot that, like, you know, he was little, like, you know, he had just turned 2 when I had Victoria, so this was before that, it was, like, second trimester, you know, he was, like, little. So I just was like, oh my gosh, I have so much peace about toys. Like, this is so dumb. So that thought process of, like, oh, what else could I do in in this way that I did with toys. So, and then I started researching stuff on Pinterest, like, and this probably sounds really dumb. So I have to preface, I have dyslexia and ADHD. I got diagnosed as a child. I quit taking medicine at 16 and I have tried to learn like how to, you know, manage it. So, which I've done really well. So in that I have executive functioning, problems. You can go Google it or whatever. So my brain does not naturally think in those ways or categories or whatever. So, but I hate whenever people make excuses for stuff, because yes, the Lord made my brain this way. It's neurodivergent. There's nothing wrong with it. It's my weakness, and the Lord can use his strength, his creativity, his ability, to come alongside me and to strengthen me to do the things where I'm weak in. Okay. Amen. Praise God. So I don't want to make excuses of, well, I can't do that, or my brain doesn't think like that. No, it can. You just need to have the want to, right? Instead of making excuses. So at that point, I had realized, like, hey, I have been making excuses. I have been lazy. I have not been creative. I have not asked the Lord to help me. I have not even asked my husband to help me. I have asked, you know, I have asked people, just not specific. So therefore, they didn't know my need, right? They were helping in a way that they thought was beneficial and best, which wasn't for me as an individual. So I started going to Pinterest, like, hey, how do you organize things? How do you do this? How do you do that? Well, then I came across this lady who I'm not going to name. And I was like, whoa. And I started implementing things that she had suggested. And I was like, not everything, just certain things. And I was just like, whoa, this is amazing. And then I had Victoria. And it kind of just, you know, plateaued from there. So then we sold that house and we moved. And I just kept, you know, implementing things and doing things like that. And I would say she was about 2. So, mind you, I'm very new in this area and journey, which is insane because I've been married for almost 9 years. But this has been something that has truly been a struggle for me, because I really believe that for some people it just is. And I don't think you're not taught to be a homemaker, which we should teach that, but you know, people don't. So when she's about 1.5, 2, I discovered like cleaning routine, cleaning schedule. And for me, because I have ADHD, I didn't realize how much I needed that. Just that consistency of doing the same thing or similar things every single day. And then I noticed when I did that, I could keep up with my house better. You know, like, just boom, like, it was just a thing for me. So I would say when she was a newborn, so that was when she was 2, fast, you know, back up, rewind to when she was a newborn, the Lord really just, I mean, man, he got my heart. And I think it's because at that point I had really put my faith and trust in Jesus, because before that I was, because of my depression and my faith crisis and struggle, I was pretty much like a hopeful agnostic. So I wasn't surrendered in my heart anymore. It was just like going through the motions, just doing the thing, pretending, not really knowing if I believed it, if that could make sense. And no one knew I was there. Not even like literally, that was just between me and the Lord. So when, like, right before I had her, I turned my heart back to him and, you know, surrendered, and I'm doing this for you, Lord, and I love you, and I trust you, and I'm gonna live my life for you, you know, that kind of thing. And so, he just started speaking things to me, like rapid fire, like boom, 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 boom. In my Angry Mama episode, I shared a little bit, like, he literally revealed to me, like, you are mad that you are a mom. Like, and here's the thing. those were connected. The stay-at-home mom and the homemaker thing, those were connected. But they're separate. So with homemaking, I was upset because I felt like a constant failure. And for me, that is a core fear. I do not ever want to feel like a failure. And if I'm going to fail, I'm just not going to try. If success is not high of a probability, I'm just not going to do it. So as I have been an adult, I have switched that to where, like, no, I just have to try. Period. I just have to try. Fail, succeed, who cares? Just try. Do your best. Sorry, my kids are just, you know. Anyways, this is why I need to create a space to record. Anyway, so he just, like, rapid fire was just revealing things to me because I had completely shut him off for 2 years. So does that make sense? Anyway, so one of the things that he was trying to show me and teach me was that being a stay-at-home mom is not the same thing as being a homemaker. Homemaker, which, you know, 180 or whatever, however you want to see it, 90-degree angle, I don't know. I don't do geometry. Anyway, moving to, like, the original place of where my husband understood, I had not come to that understanding. So the Lord was slowly bringing me around to your first job, your first priority, whatever you're doing in life. As a Christian woman, made in my image, set apart, called by me, right? This is your job. Like, I have given this to you. I have been on a journey for, 4 years of just the Lord revealing that to me in different ways and just learning and wanting to learn and asking for clarification, asking questions for people who have been doing it a long time. And I'm so thankful that there's, like, YouTubes and TikToks and blogs, and there's all these things. And maybe somebody's in a space where they didn't even know. Because I started listening to podcasts and really making social media more as a tool in my life instead of entertainment, more of a tool when I had Victoria. So even that, when I switched that to this is a tool, started, just this whole new world. So when this lady was describing, the difference between being a stay-at-home mom and the difference between being a homemaker, I just really resonated with that because I've lived that. I had that mindset. I've also, changed and, like, yeah, homemaking is different. So, I really wish, and I hope, I'm praying that, like, back in the day, when my grandmother got married and one of my grandmothers got married in 1962, I don't remember when my other grandparents got married. Anyway, they're both older, okay? They both had my parents later in life, and so they're just older. Like, one of my grandmothers is almost 90, and then my other one is 80. So, they came from generations where homemaking was valued. Commercials on TV, like, there were tools that were advertised as for homemakers. Like, it was a job description. And because of that, I think, that's not a thing in our culture anymore. That has been done away with in the culture. So therefore, when people become stay-at-home moms, I think they think that they're the same. Because I did. I thought being a stay-at-home mom and homemaker were literally the same thing. And then this is whenever we start having the jokes about, like, laundry piled up and you looking like a hot mess. And, it's because nobody knows homemaking skills. They're not focusing on that. And they don't know what to do. Because a lot of people who are becoming stay-at-home moms, they didn't have moms who stayed home. Does that make sense? Or maybe they didn't have a grandmother who did. Me and my mom were talking about that, third wave feminism in the 70s. That was the first generation, really, where moms were allowed or expected or it was okay. It was
allowable, deemed good to be out in the workplace and other people like raise your kids. So my mom's generation and then down, we're losing not only the value of being a homemaker as an occupation, but we're also losing the value of teaching, training, correcting in this area. Does that make sense? Anyway, so, you know, I would love to see it. And there are some places, like whenever, every time we buy our house and it says, what is your occupation? I put homemaker, and that is an acceptable thing. So they accept it. But I really wish we could make a comeback. And I kind of think we're seeing that. I definitely see evidence of the tide turning in this. But in that, the women who have built stamina and homemaking, who have built skills, who have learned, who have been through trial and error, have, you know, been through the ringer and have learned this. These are the women that need to be rising up and making YouTube channels and talking about it on podcasts, making, you know, writing books, doing seminars, workshops. Like, they're the ones that should be doing these things and presenting it to the world so more people have access to learn how to do this again. So because when your kids are grown, you're still going to be a homemaker. When your kids are in school, you're still a homemaker. If you work full time, you're still a homemaker. And if you're single, you are a homemaker. If you are a woman and you live in a dwelling, in a home, in a covering, in a shelter, the Lord has given you the gift, the privilege, the domain, the expectation, I guess, or he expects homemaking. And, you know, we see this in Titus too, like the older women in the faith are to come alongside the younger women in the faith and teach them what, you know, it's a whole list. And one of those is to keep their home or homemaking or gatekeeper, or whatever. There's tons of translations. But pretty much it just means to work in the home. And what does that look like? You know, so I'm excited because I do see that that's changing. And there are so many women that I meet that are like, I'm a failure in this. I don't know what I'm doing. I've, you know, even women who had stay-at-home homemaking moms, they're realizing as an individual, they want to do things a little different, but they don't know how to turn the tide. Does that make sense? Like, if you had a mom that was super cluttery and you don't want to repeat that in your homemaking as a habit, you don't really know how to build the tools to get there. Does that make sense? Like, there's no bridge. Like, you have an idea and then that's what you want to accomplish, but we need the bridge to build the skill, to have the confidence, to walk in that way to get to the goal. So, anyway, in that, I want to be one of those people, and I'm not talented. Sorry, my dogs are fighting. I'm so sorry. Hey, it's like you're hanging out with me at my house, though. Anyway, but I also want to point people to other people. So I recently found a YouTube channel I really, really like. It's called Faith and Flower. And I really like her. She's an older lady. She's probably like 40s, 50s, maybe. And she is great. I just found her. And I really like her. I need to search more for channels like that, because I haven't found a lot. Rooted in Rest, that's a good one. It's a homeschool channel. And she kind of goes over stuff like that. A book that really helped me was Miserly Moms. That was very, very helpful. I got that book when I was pregnant with Victoria, and that was one of the things that the Lord used to, like, make my mind, you know, turn and be more intentional and things like that. Being intentional and making that heart and mind switch of, this is my job and I need to actually work. You know what I mean? Miserly Moms, and then I just learned about this and it's been amazing. So there's two cleaning systems that I had I've never heard of, but I just found them and they're great depending upon your personality. So one is Fly Lady, and she has an app. I don't recommend her website. It's very outdated and hard to use and visually overstimulating. But that's just me. That would be my only critique. But the app is fantastic. You can YouTube how it works because she does have some language barrier. Like she says swish and swipe. I had no idea what that was. I had to Google it. She has like baby steps and they build on one another. And it's very organized. It's a system and it's awesome. And she does things based on zones for me, which is helpful. Like you work on a zone project for a certain amount of days in the app on top of your organized daily routine. And then she has a section called the weekly blessing, and I removed a lot of it and I added my own. And then there's also Clean Mama, which that one was designed for people who work full time but still desire to be homemakers and have, you know, all of that. And it's more of like a everyday task kind of thing. And that, to me, that works well with people who, you know, cannot do or don't do well with extreme structure. So like me as a new wife, a new homemaker, because I literally went from living with my parents to being married. So I would have done better on Clean Mama and then built up to Fly Lady, but just check them out, look them up, you know, depending on your personality and what you need and what skills you want to learn and build and work hard toward, you know, check out which one works better for you. Anyway, I am just thankful to have my own house, like my own home that we own, just because I can start doing things that I have missed doing. I'm praising the Lord for no more roaches and, you know, just all the things, you know, that there are so many things in the last season that we learned and we're stepping into a new one, and I'm expectant to, you know, take the things that we learned and apply them to this season on top of learning new things. So, I would say that the takeaway thought, what I want you walking away with, meditating on, thinking of, discussing with your friends, discussing with me if you want to reach out to me, the difference between a stay-at-home mom and a homemaker. Do you think they're the same thing? And if you do, how do you process that? How do you justify that? How did you come to that decision, conclusion, outcome, whatever? And if you're more on my thinking, where it's like stay-at-home mom is separate, because to me, a stay-at-home mom, you're focusing on, to me, the children and like just basic keep the kids alive chores and cooking. Homemaking is a job, and your job is to manage the entire house and how it functions. Also, I would say the difference between a stay-at-home mom and a homemaker, stay-at-home moms expect dad, boyfriend, husband, you know, whatever kind of relationship they're in, they expect 50-50 from their partner, spouse, husband, person. And there's a lot of resentment and, you know, things like that, because you're expecting help with certain things. Whereas a homemaker, every homemaker I have ever talked to, listened to, discovered, this is their job, and they do not expect their husband to do anything. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that their husband's lazy and that they just are a slave and they do everything and they're just so oppressed. That's not what I mean. What I mean is if I walked up into my husband's job and I'm just standing there, and if he wants my help, he's going to have to ask, because I don't know where anything's at. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how he does things. I don't want to mess up his rhythm. That is the same thing as a homemaker. I do not want my husband rolling up in here and messing with my rhythm, messing with my hard work in getting my job to where I need it to function and roll. And, you know, if I need help, I will ask him and he will do it. He is very, very cheerful about it. But I don't expect it. That would be another difference to me between a stay-at-home mom and a homemaker. Also, a stay-at-home mom mentality or thinking, I think, is very temporary. You know, you're going to stay home until they start kindergarten, or if you're going to homeschool, like when they turn 18, like I'm no longer a stay-at-home mom or whatever. Where with homemaking, there is no like end date. It's just something that you do your whole life, because it's a job and you're thankful to be doing it. Does that make sense? And you might need to build on the thankfulness. That's been something the Lord's been dealing with me. Building that thankfulness, building that joy, building that, you know, that thankful heart posture. And because out of that thankfulness, it overflows into good works, just like our salvation, right? We're not saved because of our works. We do good works because we love God and we love people. Same thing. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for shelter. So out of that overflowing of my heart should be deliberate good works for my family, for my home, to my home, to my family. I hope that makes sense. So my takeaway thought is, maybe are you struggling with not separating the two? Are they the same? How could the Lord switch your thinking? Go read Titus 2. Maybe that would be a good encouragement, for you. But I have to say ta-ta for now, because my dogs have been fighting. My children are going nuts. And, I will talk to you beauties later.
Thank you for joining me for this conversation. I hope that it blessed you. I hope it encouraged you, and I hope that it causes you to persevere and endure and grow. And I want you to do me a favor. If you are digging this podcast, I would love if you would subscribe, follow, share it with a friend, write a review. Go find me on social media, and thank you so much for your support.